Hello, everybody. Welcome to Final Draw. Chelsea out of the FA Cup after a 2-1 loss to Brighton. Obviously, myself and Chelsea Rambles here to give you everything you need to know after a extremely abject, embarrassing, a long list of synonyms, adjectives, whatever you want to pick to talk about Chelsea Football Club in what could be used in several games over the course of the season before, that, and very little progress being shown. Of course, now we will definitely delve deeper as the show goes on. But, you know, we do need to just sort of stick with the game at first and go through that. Rambles, I'm going to let you jump straight into it, mate.
I thought that was absolutely pathetic, dreadful performance. We do what we do in games. We take an early lead and then we just kind of, we lose all intensity. I thought the spine of the team was awful. Sanchez again, nowhere near good enough. Chalabar and Tosin, nowhere near good enough. You know, if we want to be a half-decent team, we need much better centre-backs. No presence up front. Christopher and Kunku for in goal. He really should have taken a shot. It's not his fault. He's not a striker. And he's lacking in confidence. He obviously passed it to Palmer, who didn't get the header on target. We're going absolutely nowhere with the spine of this team. And sadly, it comes back to the sporting director's failing in the January transfer window for me.
I mean, that was fairly evident, wasn't it? I think I didn't see a single occasion where Christopher Nkunku led the line, shall we say, for Chelsea.
No, he didn't. He didn't at all. He's clearly lacking confidence and he can't be blamed. He's playing out of position as our other strikers are injured.
I mean, can he not? I mean, look, I understand he's used to playing as a second striker. Now, that's a space that's occupied really by Cole Palmer at the minute, that number 10 in that system, right? But, I mean, these were some footballing basics, which you can teach 12-year-olds. You know, if you're the centre forward, you don't drop into central midfield. And I'm talking deep, 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 deep central midfield. He was in front of the centre backs at points in this game. You know, I understand absolutely and absolutely agree with you that he has suffered a lot in terms of his confidence. How he's not really been the same player, which I think a lot of people expected when he signed. Probably doesn't help that he's had a long-term injury last season. He lost his place to Cole Palmer, who I don't think anybody expected to turn up and be as good as he had been. In fact, nobody did, I think. You know, he clearly doesn't want to be here. That was a big thing during the January window. And he's on a long-term contract and Chelsea are trying to shift him for pretty much more money than they bought him for, which again is a complete farce and is completely illogical considering he's played less minutes, which again leans more into your point about the sporting directors. But you know, we'll definitely touch on the sporting directors later in the show.
I think we need to
talk about that a lot, mate. But I think, look, like Lo said, we need to stick with the game to first. And obviously, guys, you know, this is the Final Score show. The whole purpose of this is to get you involved. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the game. You know, little short, sweet, little chats. Think 606, basically, if you're new here. So if you want to get involved, please do request and we will bring you up to talk about the game. But whilst we wait, I think the one thing I do want to touch on, Rambles, was some of the numbers, right? So, obviously I was watching it on ITV4, and they were talking about how Chelsea, you know, were looking more and more dangerous when I believe we'd had 4 shots up to the 60-minute mark when Brighton scored again. Now, we should probably talk about this system. Now, we've already touched on Christopher Nkunku, but Chelsea, again, looked very lacklustre, adamant to keep control of the ball, not really moving out of our own third. There was no real directness, no real fast tempo to the game at all. I mean, for you, mate, is there anything you look at and go, this should be done differently. We should be looking to move in a different direction. We should be looking to adjust and hold on to things and sort of actually start to evolve in ways that can happen right now rather than waiting for another window.
I think sometimes in a game, you would like to see maybe more leadership on the pitch. Maybe on the pitch they can do something a bit different, play the ball long, you know, just try and go against sometimes maybe what they're instructed to do. You know, maybe that's an experience thing, maybe that's a lack of leadership, but sometimes you've got to just kind of take the game by the scruff of the neck and just try something a little bit different. And we just seem to let games pass us by. We get an early goal and we just kind of, we just go into our shell and we just lose all intensity and, you know, we just invite pressure onto us. And after the goal, it was a very, very comfortable evening for Brighton. You know, we didn't really lay a glove on them. We had a few half chances, but nothing really, you know, we didn't really do much. It's just frustrating because, like, when you get an early goal, it's right, we've got an early goal, let's kick on, let's go and try and get the second or a third goal. And we just don't do that. And that's happened so many games. We just get the early goal and we just kind of fall apart after that. We just go into our shell. The other team gets an equaliser. And in other games, and a lot of games, the other team goes on and gets the winner.
I think that's an understatement, if I'm going to be very honest. It's just such a typical thing that's happened to Chelsea over the past.
And one thing I did want to mention was with the centre-backs. I think everyone fell into the trap, you know, when the January transfer, during the winter, Chalobah's coming back, he and Tosin can be our centre-back pairing, they're better than De Sassi. And I think that's how low the bar was, they're better than De Sassi. Then, you know, the previous game, everyone was, Chalobah and Tosin need to be our centre-back pairing, Cole's having a really bad time. And I think they've shown tonight they are nowhere near the level we need. Nowhere near. And everyone, we just fell into this trap. Oh, they're better than De Sassi. That's just how low the bar was, sadly.
I mean, I get that that's how low the bar is. But just to counter that before we got our first league cup, so just before we bring them in. I mean, I'd say that's a pretty sufficient bar to be at first. I think look, bringing in sort of Trevor Chalobah, I don't think anyone expects him to be the be-all and end-all and the most amazing signing that would completely change Chelsea's season, but just someone who would offer a little bit more durability. And look, if I'm very honest, I think him and Tosin definitely do offer that in comparison to what we're looking at with Badia Shiel and Axel De Zassi. So I don't think it changed the fact that in the summer onwards, Chelsea still need to go out and sign a proper senior centre-back. And no, that's definitely something we'll address. But of course, you know, we will talk about, as I said, the sporting directors and stuff later on in the show. We've got our first speaker. So, Marius, it's Strolls. If you'd like to unmute yourself, please. And let us know what you think about the game.
Hiya. Very laboured tonight. Our play is so formulaic. It's untrue. I think Maresca, I don't like Maresca's style of play. Even when we were on a good run, it was a very formulaic style of play. I think if you're going to play in that formulaic way, then you need the players to be able to do that technically. And I still don't understand all this nonsense I hear about, and it was on the commentary tonight on the telly as well, about the ability in the Chelsea team. Well, what ability? I don't understand. We are what we are as a team. I don't think we're a good team. We're very laboured. We don't play the ball quickly. We don't seem to know how to play the ball quickly. We haven't got a good goalkeeper. We've got two very average centre-backs. We've got nobody that takes command of the play in the centre and midfield, and we don't have a centre-forward. And when the substitutions are made, we bring on two wingers to replace two other wingers. So very predictable, very laboured, very formulaic. No surprise to the way we play. I think teams have worked us out. The players don't look as if they're enjoying playing for Chelsea at the moment. And that's my biggest concern.
Why do you think that is? What do you think?
You can only surmise, you know, from the outside, but, my guess is that it's just a very formulaic style of play. You know, it's hold on to the ball. Put your foot on the ball if you're the goalkeeper. Wait for somebody to come towards you to create space behind that player. Then dink it in over the top of that player so he's got some space. You actually see the players move into certain sectors on the pitch when we get back into possession, especially with the goalkeeper. And there's no flair to our play at all. I think that's a massive, massive influence on the way we're playing at the moment, or on the way that, on the mentality of the players. I think this team is doing no better than if Pochettino had stayed. I'd like to think if Pochettino had stayed, the team would be doing better. But again, that's totally hypothetical. It's a silly thing to say, because he wouldn't have stayed anyway, because he didn't agree with our policy of who we were selling and why we were selling them, when he was simply looking to create a team. So that's a purely hypothetical thing. But I don't think Maresca's added any value to our play at all. In fact, it's just a very late. It's a poor man's Pep Guardiola. It's awful to watch. And if he's going to play that style of football, then we need to get a return on it. There's no real return on the way we're playing. And where we need players is so obvious. We haven't really got out to buy them. It made me laugh tonight. There was a couple of situations where I think the pundit on the telly thought that Nkunku was doing a great job because he was coming in deep so somebody could go in behind him. I'm not even sure if we should be doing that. It certainly didn't work. And actually they stopped doing it after a while. And there's no players out on that pitch that are making any decisions. The decision making ability is poor. They're playing the way they're being told to play. I think it's terrible. I think Sanchez I still struggle to understand how Sanchez is even a professional footballer. He's like Bambi. And he's so laboured when he's got the ball, and he's got no snap decision making and distribution to give us a break or to give us some space. Like, I could go on and on and on. I think tonight was awful. I think some of the victories we've had recently have been relieving, but they haven't. But I don't think they've particularly proved a point about us being an improving team. I think it goes back to the way we're setting our team out and the sort of players that we want to buy. I think it all comes back to that, and I think that has to be different if we're going to make any real progress.
It's interesting you should say that, and Ramos, I do want to get your thoughts on this as well, and Mario, way back way here as well. I think it's very interesting you mentioned Pochettino, because look, I'm not going to sit here and you know, as you said, it's completely hypothetical. I'm not going to talk about if he'd stayed, right? But what I am going to talk about is a prime example of how Chelsea performed in comparison to other teams, not just in Pochettino's tenure, but beforehand as well. And this goes deep into the Roman Abramovich era as well. Chelsea were always at their best as a club, from on the pitch to an off the pitch culture, when they were the antithesis of how is the right way to play. When Barcelona were playing tiki-taka under Pep Guardiola in the late noughties, early tens, Chelsea were an aggressive, hard team to beat, a team which were, you know, counter-attacking, knew what they were doing, and just went and got the job done very simply. The same could be said about the Conte team, for example, as well, when they took on Guardiola in his first few years. It's all his first year, really, at Manchester City. You know, when he was expected to walk to the Premier League title with that Manchester City team, we made a side which were extremely hard to break down, extremely aggressive again at the same period, and just mentally were a side which had a lot of wherewithal. Whereas I do believe that it all kind of started changing when Chelsea lost the mentality almost of us against the world, and it was, well, we'd actually quite like to be liked. So we brought in Maurizio Sarri, obviously, you know, everyone loved that football. It's supposed to be amazing. He only lost the season. The old Chelsea kind of just haven't really found an identity since then, and are still struggling to do it. I mean, do you think that this style of play is being enforced by the sporting directors, by the people above him, and he just fits the bill in terms of what people expect to see? And is it something which Chelsea just need to get used to? We're going to see this guy in the hot seat for a long time, and maybe we'll start to see some development, and we need to give it time? Or is it a case of, look, like, we need to admit our failings as a club and actually start to look at where we're going wrong and address it if we want to take it seriously and compete as these people say they want us to.
Okay, well, there's a lot of questions there. I think going backwards, I don't think sporting directors or owners will ever admit their failings. So I think we'll carry on the way we are. Will Maresca ever be successful at Chelsea? I think any manager given enough time will be successful. The problem is he's saddled with players who are of a certain age and a certain level of experience who apparently have a lot of ability. Apparently, to me, they just look like, you know, your average Premier League footballers. They're not anything special that's going to win us the league or get us in the top two or three or even challenging. And I honestly do believe that, right? You know, style of play, I think, is enforced on them. I think Maresca has a style of play which the technical directors wanted. Therefore, that's why he's the coach. I can see players like Pedro Neto getting extremely frustrated on the pitch because he's not getting the ball. He's not getting the ball often enough or early enough. And yet when you saw him at Wolves, albeit he was injured a lot of the time, but when he did play, the guy was getting the ball early. He was getting the ball more often and the guy's got some pace and, you could see how good he actually was. So when you've got a player like that and maybe other players in the team who have played for other clubs, and you can see they're not actually fulfilling the ability that you've seen at other clubs, it's got to be because they're a victim of the style of play. Neto doesn't get the ball often enough and he doesn't get the ball quickly enough. For example, you know, Cole Palmer was well off it tonight. And he's still a very, very, very young man. And he'll lose confidence. He's not certainly someone that, can lead the team. We don't have a captain. You know, Reece James is always injured. I'm not sure Reece James is a captain anyway. Is Castello a captain? No. Is Fernandez a captain? No. So we've got no leadership really on the football field. I just don't see a spine in that team. And I suppose to sum up what I'm saying, I don't see an identity in the way we play. I don't understand. Well, I sort of understand what he's trying to do, but it's not that strong an identity, our playing style. I don't quite understand how it is he's trying to play other than, you know, distribute from the back, put your foot on the ball, wait for someone to come towards you, then get it out to the wingers very slowly. And we're a transition team. But when the transition doesn't come off and teams know how to play us, we're not a transition team. We're nothing. Because they match us up and therefore we're not as effective in transition as we'd like to be. So there's some issues there, massive playing issues that he's got to sort out.
No doubt about that. So many issues at Chelsea at the minute. Rambles, you got anything you want to add to that? Is there anything you that sticks out to you?
I think our problems go way back. I'd say probably to around 2017 when we lost Diego Costa and Thibaut Courtois. We've never had a real spine since then. No, I go back to Conte's first season and 9 out of the 11, you could pick week in, week out. We had a consistent team. You know, sometimes you would see Matic come out and Fabregas come in, or you'd see Pedro rotate with Willian. But you knew 9 out of the 11 team, more or less, week in, week out. And ever since we lost Costa and we lost Hazard, it's been week after week, you know, the front three is always changing. So-and-so's not playing well this week. We bring someone else in the next week. And there's just never kind of been any consistency to the team. You know, we struggled with strikers, Lukaku, Morata, Werner, Havertz. You know, none of them have come in and done what we wanted them to do. Now, we always had that big, powerful striker in Costa and Drogba. And we were very blessed to have Peter Cech and Ben Courtois, two of the best goalkeepers we've seen in the modern era. And neither the goalkeeper or the striker situation has been sorted.
But you see, the teams you've described there, I agree with you, but the teams you described there, the players were a different age. They had different experience. And Conte's team, that's a really good example of a team where you had players that weren't world beaters and we weren't the best team in the league, but the coach played to a system and we had an identity in the way we played, which I think leads to the point you're making about consistency and selection. And the coach gave the team the identity, gave them roles, and we won the league and we were a very good team. Right now, I don't think the strategy in terms of recruitment is right. I'll be honest with you. I hear these pundits, like I said a moment ago, oh, Chelsea, this team's got a lot of ability, you know, and we know the ability this team has, in quotation marks. What ability? I haven't seen anything. All I know is we've got a bunch of young players that Maresca's trying to, put some alchemy into and create a winning formula. And it ain't working. And there's no style or identity in our play, or at least if there is identity in our play, it's so easy to spot, for the opposition to spot and just to snuff out, because we don't have a plan B or C, because the players don't have the decision-making abilities to adopt a plan B or C on the pitch.
It was interesting what you said a minute ago about under Conte, we didn't really have world beaters. And I always go back to something Graham Souness has always said: you need good senior pros in your squad.
Yeah,
you need someone like an Aspilicueta, a Jordan Henderson, James Milner. Yeah. They may not be world-class players, but you know what you're getting week in, week out. They're just, they lead by example. Yeah. And that's something we don't have.
I agree.
You don't need a squad of 25 world-class players. You just need a few players who have been there, done that.
Exactly. And I think the guys that are there are looking to buy young players that they think are going to become world beaters and put them on long contracts. And then hoping the coach can formulate a style of play that they want to play to. I can't see that identity. I just cannot see it. I think, and I'm not suggesting this for a minute, I'm just giving an example. If Mourinho was coaching the team we had now, the same players that were on that pitch tonight, I think there'd have been a much more sense of identity about the team. And I think it'd have been a much harder team to beat. And, I just think we may have ended up winning that game. And it's because the coach comes along, puts the players in the right position. He gives them an accountability and a responsibility. And they go out and make decisions on the football field. Whereas Maresca listen, we don't know, right? We're always guessing because we're not in the dressing room. But from what I can see, it's just such a formulaic way of playing. Everything's to the formula. Even the way Sanchez collects the ball and stands on it, puts his foot on it and looks up and takes too long to distribute it. Even the way he distributes it and he distributes it straight down the centre of the pitch, to our midfield person who's usually got someone stuck right up behind him. And luckily, 6 or 7 times out of 10, we hang on to the ball, but sometimes we'll give it away. It's just so formulaic. And you're sitting here wishing that someone would just do something a little bit different. If I'm sitting on my sofa, second guessing what Chelsea are going to do when they're in possession and I'm getting it right 80% of the time, that tells me it's just a very formulaic style. And the only person that doesn't play in that way is our best player. That's just how I feel, that's what I sense.
But sometimes I think one player can change everything. If we had, let's say, a Liam Delap or a Victor Osimhen up front, I think that would get the best out.
Agree. Can I just say, I'll get off. Can we stop talking about Victor Osimhen, please? And Rory Delap, I couldn't agree with you more.
Rory Delap, absolutely. I wouldn't mind that for a throw-in. I mean, his son Liam's also not bad either.
Liam Delap. I'm showing my age. Rory Delap had a good throw-in, didn't he? Liam Delap, if Liam Delap was at that number 9 point and he was that focal point, and then you had someone like an Nkunku or someone like that, because let's face it, they are good players, these guys. Please don't think I'm saying they're not good players. But, if you had a Rory Delap and then an Nkunku playing off him, maybe a centre forward who could hold the ball up and someone playing off him, it probably would be a very, very different team. And then two quick wingers, Nottingham Forest, they're the real deal. I'll tell you why they're the real deal, because they've got an identity. You watch them play, you know how they're going to play, but they're effective. The two wingers are on their bike straight away as soon as this transition, without the ball. They're just on their bikes, go. And the lad in midfield, Gibbs White, he knows what's going on, looks up, makes the pass, and away they go. And they're very, very solid at the back. So Espirito Santo's got a very solid back four, you know, plays to this model. They make the decisions. They've got a mix of experience, and they play with these fantastic wingers, and they're so good in transition. But there's an identity about that team. I'm not quite sure what our identity is.
Well, you can stick around if you'd like, Mario, but we've got teams now as well, and we'll actually phrase that question to her straight off the bat. Teams, what is Chelsea's identity? Can you tell us?
Listen, Louis, like, I know that, look, I know you've been very positive, and everyone on this space who contributes.
Positive? Oh, I don't know about that, mate. Blimey.
No, you're more positive than I am. You're definitely more positive than I am, and I'm done. I'm sick of this, and I've been done for a while. Like, I get a lot of abuse for calling out, like, some of the bullshit I've seen, and, you know, people want, obviously, they want to hang on to certain things, but what is there to hang on to? What, you asked me about what the identity is. I don't know. I don't know, and I don't care, because it's not working, and I don't care about who that upsets. The ownership have destroyed this football club. I don't know whether that is I don't think that's a popular thing to say, but it's what I'm going to say. They've destroyed this football club. And piece by piece, with the promise of a project that is going to deliver, that hasn't delivered, they don't have their priorities in the right place. How have we gone through the whole of January knowing we have problems up front? In the middle, we don't have any depth, and at the back, and goalkeeping. And we've gone and got a 19-year-old kid who, by the way, isn't being prepared for Chelsea Football Club. So we bought him with the intention of him going on loan to a club that is associated with us, whilst we have a player on loan at that club that could really do a job for us, is not coming back, who could actually be like a really good addition to the squad. Nothing that this ownership, these directors, really make sense. They don't have winning at the forefront of their minds. They are only interested in profit and how to flip players. We don't have a front of shirt sponsor. And I said this at the beginning of the season, and people told me not to worry about it. It's not important. But it is important, because Clear Lake Capital are, you know, this is their bread and butter in terms of sponsorships and things like that. And they haven't even done that well. They've gone on, they came in and criticised the previous ownership about how they run the club. But look at the way that they've run this club. No one on this space can tell me confidently that we're going to finish in the Champions League spot. In fact, I don't even think that I'm not even confident that we're going to finish or win the Conference League. And that is a sad indictment for Chelsea Football Club. And it's not about the FA Cup. It's about how this club has deteriorated rapidly over the last 4 years. You can talk about under Roman, things weren't great. I can take that. But I actually don't think it needed revolution. It needed evolution. They've come and revolutionised this whole club, and not for the better. And I'm done. I am tired. I can't really say any more than I'm saying today. I genuinely think that there needs to be drastic changes. And unless the Chelsea Supporters Trust, which I know a lot of people in this space are part of, really concentrate on what I think is the biggest glaring issue, I don't know whether this club is going to turn it around. We are just going to be a better version of Manchester United, but just drifting in the ethos with nothing. And Cole Palmer and the better players in this squad are going to want to leave. 10-year contract or no 10-year contract. And that is the reality that we have as Chelsea Football Club. And that is me done.
I totally agree with you. I think that's here. And maybe what you're really saying, I don't want to put words in your mouth, is that you don't see that lack of identity to the way we're playing or to the way the club's run. Yes.
No, but Mario, I do see an identity. I just don't like the identity.
No, no, I agree. The identity I see is a lack of one, in the sense of the strategy's like, I don't know, it's just all over the place. And I think the plan, I do think the acquisition strategy is completely wrong. Which feeds into your point about they're not bothered about winning. If they were bothered about winning, their acquisition strategy would be so much more balanced than it currently is. It would blend a little bit of experience with promising youth, and so on and so forth. But it's not. And, that's the problem. I suppose we were all very happy when we were unbeaten for 11, 12 games just before Christmas.
But that
was masking a lot of problems.
I don't mean to cut across you. No, I'm very right. passionate today, but I could see the problems even then. See the issues even then. Yeah. And do you know what the most frustrating thing is, Mario? Mm. That we are so close. We are so close to realizing the what we really want to achieve. But instead of focusing on that, they are more interested in turning a profit. Because if this football club was serious, and if this was under Roman Abramovich, we get to January, we have these glaring issues. No one in this place can tell me we don't spend on the areas that we need to spend in. It may not be the people that we want there, but Chelsea definitely go get a striker. They definitely go get a midfielder and not a 19-year-old. Yeah. Like, it's so frustrating. I don't understand it.
Yeah. I agree. So, anyway, that's what I think. And when I said Rory Delap earlier on, he's about 60 now, so he'd have had a good experience of the team, wouldn't he? That's right. I'm just trying to bring some levity to the conversation, guys.
bring some levity to the conversation. Right.
That last caller was brilliant, and stick with it. But I think we need to keep talking about this strategy, because it is absolute nonsense. And I don't think Maresca's he's not impressed me particularly as a coach anyway. So,
we're not going to talk about, I don't think, Enzo Maresca yet. I feel that it's completely redundant changing coach again personally, purely because Ramble's been very quiet. So I feel free to tell me if I'm wrong for Ramble. But I feel it's completely redundant to change again, because realistically, as you can see in the terms of the progression of the club, we're becoming less and less attractive to higher caliber managers. And very much in the vein of what, I'd strongly believe this is not Todd Bowley's vision for Chelsea. This is very much Bernard Agbale and Clear Lake Capital's vision for Chelsea. They want people who they can say, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir. They want to have this structure, which is aggressively corporate America. It's something which I just don't see. We're not getting any value from it. And you're not going to attract strong coaches with any caliber with that mentality. Now, Enzo Maresca can say all he wants that these are decisions that they're made together, but it is very well documented and known that he asked for a midfielder, a striker and a centre back in January, and probably a goalkeeper as well, right? He didn't get any of them. And as teams alluded to earlier, we signed a 19-year-old central midfielder on the premise that we could loan one out. And then basically screwed the pooch on that because they realised that they'd filled all the loan slots at their sister club.
Every manager's dog can see the sporting directors failed in the January window. They spent far too much time trying to offload players because they were just asking for ridiculous fees, which we were never going to get. They didn't bring in the required quality needed. There were players on loan we could have brought back, which they failed to do so. So no, if Bernard Agbale put in faith in Paul Winstanley and Lawrence Stewart, well, he's not going to get anything in return because this is not good enough.
Yeah, well, I think we definitely should move on to the sporting directors now. Because this is a far more deep-rooted issue at Chelsea than just the 90 minutes we've seen. Because it's just, as we said right at the top of the show, this has been a carbon copy of different elements of the games up since beginning of December, really. And I think, realistically for me, I feel like Enzo Maresca's operating with one arm tied behind his back. I would love to have seen him maybe under the previous ownership, because you know, it's the attractive football they're looking for towards the end of their tenure. And there was an aggressive nature to how they did things. And I think maybe he might have slotted in better, because we did see in that run when Chelsea were winning a manager who was a bit sharper. And obviously we're waiting for the press quotes to come out so we can go through them with you guys as well. Obviously as well, just a reminder to people, it's not just me, Rambles and Mario talking. If you would like to say your piece, I know a couple of you requested, well, so we're talking on our previous talking points, please do make sure that you come and get involved, come and have a conversation with us, you know, make a request and we can talk about what you want to talk about, what we're talking about here as well. And of course, if you are new around here, some of you already have done, please make sure you follow the Chelsea Echo. Obviously we do these shows after every single game. Usually me from the ground and the score and Rambles hosting. So make sure you come and get involved. But yeah, let's move on now.
Personally speaking, I don't think any other manager would fare any better with the tools they've got available, because we've seen Robert Sanchez and the various goalkeepers, and various managers, and sadly, he's not the required standard. We've seen Chalabar under various managers and the old regime, the new regime, and he's not the quality required to get us to where we want to get to. And we've got two strikers who are both very young and they're both out injured. So having to play a number 10 who doesn't want to be here up front. So if you add all those things together, it's just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, and that recipe for disaster has been going on for the previous God knows how many months now. I should probably rephrase that. Years. We had these guys in charge since January 2023, and you've only seen a backwards mentality and a backwards policy. Now, their argument very much is a case of Chelsea was, as teams alluded to earlier, of course, the club which was run really poorly, constantly run at a loss, weren't going to see any growth from it on that current strategy that was in place, which I semi understand. There are players on inflated wages, a big issue with player power, you know, and that was something that needed to be adjusted and changed. However, that being said, it was been so drastically changed that Chelsea are not going to see a return on their investments, which they've made in the January 23 window and onwards, because all these players are coming for astronomical fees and they're saying they want to have them so they can sell them on in future potentially. Chelsea are not going to see a return on them if they continue down this track. And that has been something which I think anybody who even doesn't watch football could see. I don't know if you guys agree, but it's something where when you look at it and analyse it, I mean, if we're to put it in terms which, as we did last week, which Better Leg Barley would understand as a man who works in, hedge funds and financial markets, what he's got in Paul Winstanley and Lawrence Stewart are two portfolio managers who are actually completely mismanaging an asset, which is making it go down in value in comparison to what it could be doing, considering the nature of the business that it's part of. And I mean, that is a very simple way of putting it for a man who very simply, clearly doesn't understand. And I know that in the anonymous listeners and in people that do, so I know people in the club listen to what we talk about here. And I know they appreciate and like the show, because one thing we do is we talk about it with candor rather than just yelling at people, which is something which I do quite like about what we do here. But I don't think there's a much simpler way we can put it. They have no idea what they're doing. And if they say they do, then they need to show examples, because the football fans that support this club are going to be here long after they go, and they can leave it in a hell of a state.
The thing which really frustrates me is we aren't that far away, but nobody has any confidence that they're going to do what's needed, because we don't need to go and make wholesale changes. We all know about the spine of the team, but we just need to bring in one or two more experienced players. And they don't have to be huge, big money signings, but there are players you can bring, you know, maybe just one or two squad players who are just a little bit older, who've just been there, done that, got the t-shirt. And, you know, they don't have to be players on ridiculously high wages. There are players you can get.
I'm not going to lie, Rambles. I completely disagree with you. I think Chelsea are going further and further away from where they need to be. I don't think they're close. Honestly, I think this squad is, ironically, after
as they always like to put it, with the project, that needs to be an overhaul every single summer. Yet again, there needs to be another overhaul because there is not enough quality in this squad to actually make a marked improvement for me, which will see a return for the club in terms of them wanting to get their achievement, which they stated last season, by the way, in the programme, in the final programme of last season. They wanted Champions League football at Stamford Bridge every season from this season onwards. That was stated in the match day programme. They've shifted the goalposts since because they don't think they can hit that target. But therein lies the issue, because the mentality of this club is absolutely in the toilet. But before we carry on, because we have been rambling for a little while, we do have a request. Paddy McDougall, bring him up now. And we see that CFCA is there as well, so we'll bring you in later on in a moment. But whilst Paddy's connecting, obviously, guys, please do make sure you get involved in the speakers and come get involved in Final Score. Paddy, talk to us, mate. How are you feeling?
You know what? The last... I've just caught up on his face. I'm not sure what you have and haven't spoken about. So in the last 10 games, you know we've only won 3, and one of those was against Morecambe. And the other two were against 17th and 15th, and I was at both games, and we struggled in both. And it was almost like a relief when we won both games, but we were still dire in both those games. I've tried not to blame Maresta as the season's got on, but we all know about the sporting directors. We all know about the poor purchases or the lack thereof, and the squad building or the lack thereof, but he needs to hold some blame for this as well, because he's persisted with a system that doesn't work. At times he had Gusto playing as a 10. last week when Nonny he doesn't even look up when he hits the cross, but our only threat at the far post is Cucurella every single time, which shows where we are as a team, which is diabolical. Today was one of the worst games I've seen us play in a long, long time. And that's under Poch, under Lampard, after him, Potter, then Lampard after him, and Poch and whoever was after that. But people don't realise, like, we're going to have 40-plus players. And I just heard what you said about we need a massive overhaul. Again, it's not 2 or 3 players. That back line that was out there today, I don't rate any of them. People can rate Cucurella. He's a bit of a headless chicken. But because of that, decisions go against him, whether right or wrong. He's with Tosin, with Chalobah, they're not good enough to be starting in this team. I'm not the biggest fan of Colwell, but at least he didn't get the blame for what happened today. Sanchez is a disgrace. I'm not Jorgensen's biggest fan. Caicedo is going to get booked almost every single game because he has to do so many different players' jobs at the same time. Dewsbury Hall was a disgusting signing. Enzo came on and he was awful. We signed another DM because that's how you get goals. Sancho's a squad player at best. I didn't want Neto. Nonny, you don't know whether you're going to get something good or bad. A lot of times it's bad. If Palmer doesn't score our goals, we don't score. And in Kunku, they put, a 70 mil price tag on him, and then that didn't allow him to leave in January, even though you're not going to play him. They forced Felix out, and he only came in because you forced Gallagher out when we should have signed Samu. Even though people didn't want him, he's gone on to do decent things at Porto as a striker. It's something that we needed. We needed goals. And then you go to the bench. It's like when I was at the West Ham game the other day, and I was looking at the starting 11 that we had, plus you add Nkunku, Neto and Gusto to it. That's all we've got for the rest of the season. Reece James has now got injured. Lavi, you can't even count them anymore. If Nonny doesn't do something, you're then hoping Neto does. If Neto doesn't do anything, you're then hoping Sancho does. That's your 3 wingers. That's all you've got. And then if Palmer doesn't have a good game, which he didn't have today, then you're not getting any goals either. Jackson's been awful. It's like, we're going to Brighton next week. We're probably going to lose that game. And then who do you add? Like, you add Jackson today, who hasn't scored in 8. You had Enzo, who was awful, and you had Cole. Are we going to win the game against Brighton? I don't expect us to. You then go away to Villa, who will probably beat us. And then that'll be, 3 wins in, 12, 13? And then we play at home to Southampton. And you're going into a game against Southampton, you're expecting to win. And you'd be, 2 or 3 wins out of 14 games. Sooner or later, this has to come down to the manager. You can't blame the board for every single thing. Maresta chose not to play Felix. He chose not to play Nkunku. He chose to have this formation that wasn't working week in, week out. Even though Carney was being forced out of the club, he was still there in the background. I'm sure he could have played him at some point. Like, as much as people want to blame the board, rightly so, people want to blame Igbali, rightly so, Maresta still has to take a huge chunk of the blame. Because it's his, he's the one that's picking the players or not making subs. How many times have you been at Stamford Bridge? I'm sure you've been at a season. and we're screaming for subs, and it's 78th, 79th, 80th minute, and you're bringing on Phoenix, you're bringing on Kunku to run around for 10 minutes and expecting them to win the game. Granted, he's not the one on the pitch putting the ball in the back of the net or not putting the ball in the back of the net, but then he chose to sass it right back against Ipswich. He's the one not choosing to make these changes during the game and expecting your players to carry you through. And then those players know they're starting again next week. It's embarrassing. I've been going to Stamford Bridge since I was a kid, and it's become a chore now rather than an enjoyment. And it's really sad. It's like, obviously, it's got to the point I'm thinking, like, our best bet is the Conference League in hope that we win that. And I don't quote me, but I'm thinking if you win that, you then get into the Europa League. I think that's looking at our best bet for some sort of enjoyment this season. But then don't put it past this team losing to some pathetic team in that, because they're so void of confidence now. And I said last season that you could see a lot of these players don't like playing with each other, and people thought I was crazy. And you could see it again tonight. So certain players in this team, I don't think they even like each other or like playing with each other. I might be paranoid or looking a bit too much into it, but I saw it last season, and I'm sure I've seen it against this season.
I
don't know where we go from here, because we've still got another 4 months of this or 3 months of this, whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, Paddy, look, feel free to call in during that 4 months and obviously let us know all your thoughts as the season goes on. Cause there's no doubt about it that, you know, there is a huge magnitude of issues and things, which I think we can all agree on there. Really good call. Obviously, guys, please make sure that you do request. Before we carry on though as well, we do need to take a look at some of the quotes from the press conference, because they are now out and ready to go. It came out about 10 minutes ago when we were deep in a very interesting discussion. That's not me being sarcastic. I was actually enjoying those conversations, ironically, despite the fact that Chelsea are rubbish. Sometimes, guys, you got to find joy in the little things. But some big quotes here from Enzo Maresca, and we can go through them all. We've got an interesting one here on his thoughts of the FA Cup exit. And for everyone that's in this space, please do feel free to put it in the comments if you don't want to come up. But if you do want to come up afterwards, let us know your thoughts on these press comments before you make your point. Enzo Maresca on the FA Cup exit. It's a shame for sure, no doubt. It's a difficult competition for sure. It's a big shame for us. But if there is something positive, we can be focused on the Premier League and the Conference League and hopefully continue our journey there. Now, that's the first time I've read that. I obviously was just going to kind of rattle through the important quotes from the press conference. I was seeing the headlines from the Blue Dodger and then sort of going, well, let's pick it up from here. I just want to address that straight away. And it kind of leans into our previous points of what we were discussing earlier in the show about the identity of the club and where it's going and the mentality. There was a point where this wouldn't just be called a shame. There was a barometer for Chelsea where it was a case going, you're going to win every competition. The expectation is to win. And that is the expectation of the fans of this club. And you can call us spoiled, but I do think that Chelsea being competitive as they have been for the past 30 years is something which needs to be considered, and it needs to be realised by the people in charge, including Enzo Maresca. I thought personally Paddy was a little bit harsh in some cases on Enzo Maresca there, but he also wasn't, because points like this reinforce it. Rambles, Mario, I want to get your thoughts on that comment. Is Enzo Maresca here just trying to appease everybody, make everybody happy that's in charge of him? Or do you think he genuinely seems to have very little thought for cup competitions, where it's just a case of, we're going to go into it later, don't worry about it, it's fine, when realistically Chelsea's best opportunity to win things are these cups?
I think he's just managing the press conference. I think he's going to be bitterly disappointed they're knocked out the FA Cup. I certainly hope so. who knows? He may realistically be thinking the same as us, that he knows he hasn't got a good enough team and a good enough squad, and therefore his avenues are the Europa Conference and the Premier League. I agree with the previous caller. I'd be very concerned that I think the position we're in the Premier League at the moment is higher than we should be based on the players we've got and the way we play and the way we are playing. So there's a huge concern there. So I think he's just managing the press. He's got to, you know, the players are going to hear what he's saying, so he's got to be careful about what he says. If I was him, I'd be gutted to be not take the FA Cup. I would have thought the FA Cup would be, you know, one of the more, well, not the easier, but, you know, certainly a route to winning the trophy or certainly having a cup run.
Do you think it's lost its sparkle at all, Rambles, the FA Cup? Do you think people don't care about it as much as they should do?
Sadly, I think it has lost its sparkle for many years now, because I think getting top 4/5 in the eyes of clubs and their hierarchy, that's seen as more valuable because Champions League football brings in more money. But I don't think any manager of a top 5 or 6 club can come out after going out in the fourth round and use the word positive, because there's no positives for any fans of any top 6 club who goes out in the fourth round. I think managers maybe say things about thinking, but there's certainly no positives that can be taken for tonight's game, that's for sure. And I think comments like that will just anger the fans.
I'm very angry at it, personally. I think I get he's trying to manage a press conference, but I do think that he also should be, he talks about how he wants to have the fans on side more and people being less annoyed at the players. Making comments like that doesn't really help that situation. You know, you think about some of the great leaders that Chelsea have had over the past 20 years, Mourinho, Ancelotti, Conte, Tuchel, you know, these are people that wore their heart on their sleeve. Ancelotti may be less so in comparison to the other three. Now, he was very much arched the eyebrow, very suave, very sophisticated, whereas the other three were very much pounding their chest. But they'd use those press conferences as an opportunity to unite people. And I think a great example of that is always going to be Tuchel and the seven-seater comment. But I clearly don't think they want that anymore. And the fact that I agree with you, you know, you look at this stat that's just come out, right? Chelsea have failed to progress beyond the fourth round of the FA Cup in 2 out of the past 3 seasons. That is as many times as the previous 24 combined. So that's since 1999. So that's before, quote unquote, Abramovich and the money showed up. You know, this is when Chelsea was still being competitive under Ken Bates at the back end of his tenureship. That says a lot about the mentality and the quality of these guys. I appreciate that maybe the FA Cup isn't as sexy as it used to be. You know, I do think that people sometimes appreciate it less. But we talk about some of the best moments that we've seen in the FA Cup. I mean, even thinking about today, you know, the goal that was scored in the Birmingham Newcastle game, the goal that was scored late in Orient against Manchester City. You know, it's a great competition, which kind of still holds that purity of what football was, you know, before a lot of it was corporatized. You know, there's that whole element of, you know, you could be a pub team that plays on a Saturday and then you could qualify for the FA Cup and work your way through all the way to the top. Technically, obviously it's not going to happen, but technically anybody can win it in the country. It's an amazing competition, which I think doesn't get given the credit it deserves. And comments like that from Maresca, where he talks about being positive and being more focused on the league and on the Conference League, right? He obviously isn't, right? He obviously isn't. And as Mario said, I'm sure he's annoyed that he lost this game, right? But sitting here and hearing that, there are going to be people out there that say it sounds like he's thrown the game, that he doesn't care about the cup, that it's just another game. You know, it's something which, you know, Chelsea need to win a trophy. They need to win a trophy. This ownership, if they want people off their back, need to win.
I think
because
it's deeper than just what is the FA Cup. If a coach is saying stuff like that coach should be wanting to win every game. He should be wanting to win every game, and he should be wanting the team to play to the best of their ability to want to win every game as well. And if he's going to say things like that, which border upon picking and choosing what you prefer to win, and well, the silver lining is that we are now focusing on other things. I don't think that creates the right culture, and it doesn't create a winning culture in a football club, because people then go away thinking it's all right to have lost that game because now we can focus on something else. You know, but they should be as gutted as we are that we lost tonight.
I mean, I'm old school, and I know you obviously can't go over the top, but I want my manager to come out and, you know, criticise the players. You know, the performance tonight was dreadful. You know, defensively for the first goal was shambolic. You know, I don't want the manager coming out and saying, oh, there's positives. I want the manager to come out and say, was it a dreadful performance? Call player, you know, you can't call individuals out, but it wasn't a good enough performance. And you can't come out and say there's positives. There's no positives about that performance tonight. Every single one of them, bar maybe one or two, were absolutely pathetic.
And therein lies the problem. But we've got one more request here before we wrap up the show. Joey wanted to come in as a speaker. And then, of course, we are going to wrap up, guys. But obviously, before Joey speaks, please do make sure you check out the VoiceNet review that will be available later from myself, Dan and Tom, obviously discussing all things from that game. It's nice, short and sweet, so you don't have to talk to yourself much longer. We have some quotes from the press conference as well. So as much as I've just read these quotes and I've actually seen him say it, I will be listening to them properly so I can give you a bit more context behind what he says there. So that you can find that on all good audio platforms. So make sure you follow us and give us a 5-star review. That'd be really, really appreciated. But Joey, you're on Final Score. Mate, talk to us. Going once.
Oh, sorry. I was
going twice.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go on, yeah.
Just trying to sort my earpiece out. Thank you guys for having me. I think I actually want to talk about two things. Probably I want to talk about the owners of the club and the philosophy and the policy they are following with the club of about the club bringing in the American model of the way franchises in the NBA and NFL, the way they run it and try and implement that at Chelsea. For me, I think it's a good model in the sense of you are trying to buy cheap, you are trying to build out. The only problem is the fact that in the Premier League, there is this thing called relegation. I know we are not going to go on relegation because I know we've got a good enough team at least to stay in the Premier League. That's the fact. But the point again is in the Premier League, you have to keep qualifying for Europe if you want to have more, if you want to get more money. Unlike in the NFL or in the NBA, which you might be the worst team, you're still going to get the same amount of money compared with the team that actually wins the championship. So it doesn't matter for them. So many of the teams in the NBA, in the NFL, they don't care sometimes to a large extent. They just be like, yeah, we keep getting, the only thing you're going to affect is the number of the attendees you get in your stadium and the likes. And some people, they are okay with that. So far, the owners keep shunning profit year after year. And the problem with that in the Premier League for Chelsea is the fact that you don't go into the European Championship, and with the PSL being in place now, you don't get that amount of money you think you are going to get in the previous years. You are not going to get them, and that is a big problem for them. So the earlier Chelsea start winning games, the earlier we start going into European competitions, and don't get me started about Conference League because we are getting nothing from that. Until when Chelsea start getting in Champions League, when you start getting into the later stages of the Champions League, that is when real money actually start coming in. You are talking about £50 million or there about £60 million that you are leaving on the table by not getting into the later stages of the Champions League. So I just want them to actually understand what they are actually living on, what they are actually living by not actually concentrating on being a good team, going into the Champions League, getting into the later stages of the Champions League. I think for me, that is something they have to have a rethink about, because what they are doing is just not going to work. That's one. And I think the second point I want to make about is the state of the team at the moment. I do think we have a good enough team. I think we have a good enough team more than what we have. We have a good enough team to beat Brighton, for example.
Is that your barometer? Like, when you say a good enough team, what are you expecting? What are your expectations being a Chelsea fan?
My expectation of being a Chelsea fan is I want the team to compete for the league year in, year out. But get the point I want to make about when I said we have a good enough team. I believe we have a good enough team to win against, say, for example, Brighton today's game. The only problem I think is I don't think our manager is good enough. Our manager only has a plan A. He doesn't have a plan B. And everybody understands the way he wants to play. So if you can defend the way he wants to play, he doesn't have a plan B. And to be sincere with you, those guys, I don't believe these guys just suddenly turn to be average players or not good enough players just because they are playing Brighton. They are good enough guys. The only problem is the fact that the set play is just not good enough. We have to be able to switch off things, and it doesn't do that. We rely too much on our specific players to actually do something in the game before we can actually win, like, against Brighton, for example. So that automatically means we got no chance against Man City, even despite the fact that Man City is having a down year. So for me, the manager is not good enough. Maresca is a mid-level manager. for me, he's actually done nothing in his coaching career to warrant him being appointed as a Chelsea manager. That's a fact. Yeah, he won the championship. He won the championship last year. That should never be the qualification for appointing a manager as Chelsea, for appointing Chelsea, a Chelsea manager. And that is the fact.
I mean, I absolutely agree with you, but therein, you know, when you talk about our expectations versus, you know, where we are, right? And you say we have a good enough team. I don't think we do.
I
look at a lot of those players. Hang on, Dre. I look at a lot of those players and you talk about the quality of coach, but the quality of direction, the quality of ownership, the quality of players on the pitch, it is completely contradictory to what they're saying and what they expect. There is no way in hell that this team is good enough in any way, shape or form. Sure, there are young players here that might be good in a few years' time. No doubt about that. But we're not here to be good in a few years' time. They've said that they wanted Champions League football from this season onwards. This team is not good enough to get Champions League. That was the barometer they set before they shifted the goalposts a couple of months ago. That should say everything you need to know about them, should it not?
Yeah, I think that was the reason why I first of all spoke about the first point, about the policy, that the policy has to change. The idea of buying young players, trying to groom, is not going to work because you are not going to get into Europe, meaning you are not going to have good enough players to compete, to go into Champions League, to get into the later stages of the Champions League. And by not doing that, you are leaving money on the table. That's the reason why I first of all spoke about the first point. What I mean about the team has got it, we've got a good enough team. I mean, we've got a good enough team to beat, for example, to win today's game. We've got a good enough team to win that. And for us not winning that, I'm not going to say it's a sporting. No, I think I would say that is on the manager. He has to actually switch up from he has to maximize the potential of the guys. Yeah, the guys are not good enough now. We understand that, but he has to maximize the potential of those guys that we have at the moment. He needs to dial up something to win.
One thing I do want to mention about the manager, you know, a lot of people say about the experience Maresca's had, oh, he's only managed Leicester. But I think clubs nowadays, they are going for these younger managers. The days of going for the likes of the Mourinho's, the Conte's, the Ancelotti's are over. If you look at the other managers we were being linked with in the summer, Ruben Amorim, he's struggling at Manchester United. You know, clubs just aren't going for those older, more experienced, what you would say are winning managers. They are going for those younger managers who play a certain brand of football. And I think even if we had different owners, the manager options are what they are. You know, I don't think we'd be going down the road of a Conte or a Mourinho again. So this is just where we are managerial-wise, I think.
I think if you look at it, that's the reason why some of those big clubs going for those shiny new toys managers, that's the reason why they are not winning. Because the most important, for me, the most important guy in the football club is the manager. If you have you cannot win with a mid-level manager. You are just going to be vastly good. Like, take for example, Arteta, Arteta is just more like, just a below average manager. And despite the fact that Arsenal have spent so much money bringing in quality guys, bringing in players after players. Oh, no, I understand they don't have a striker, but just still look at them. They still can't compete. They still can't compete. They've not won anything. And that's the problem. See, I really want some of this, as if the football administrators now, this based on the point you made, looking at it from the perspective, oh, let's get these young managers. I think there has to be an hierarchy. In every sport, there is an hierarchy in managers. You've got some like top level managers, you've got some mid level managers, you've got like maybe below average managers. And I think most of these young guys that everybody keeps talking about, most of them are just average managers. People need to actually give them the chance to actually, most of them still have the opportunity of becoming top level managers, but they have to also develop. And if a club like say Man United or even Chelsea and Arsenal, for example, all these top big clubs are then looking into employing all these mid level managers, expecting the fact that they want them to learn on the job, the fans are not going to like it, because for those number of years in which they are going to develop into those top level managers, they are not going to win anything.
Okay, I take for example Manchester City. When Guardiola goes, who they, you know, they're not going to be looking at the likes of Mourinho, Tuchel, Conte, Ancelotti. They're going to be going for a younger manager as well. You know, I think the older managers have had their days at the big Premier League clubs.
I think for me, I don't actually understand what Man City are going to do, but I do know Madrid are going to go for the Leverkusen manager. They're going to go for Alonso next season and I think the only person, probably the only two clubs, Barcelona and probably Real Madrid, more of Real Madrid. They are the only ones that understand the fact that the most important person in the building is not the player, it's the manager. Because it sets direction, and if you look at their history, they always go for winners, people that hasn't tested. They don't want it to come into the, for example, they employed Lopetegui, but it didn't last how many months. They're like, no, you are not for us. Because they want it tested. See, when you see a manager, when a manager walks into your football club, in the first 2, 3, 4 months, you are actually going to know whether this guy is a winner. Because even with the message is passing across to the guys, as the sporting directors, the executive in the club, you're actually going to know whether this guy is going to win you something. And I think that is a lot of things.
Therein lies the problem, Jai. Therein lies the problem, because there's so many issues, and it all stems, as we spoke about throughout the whole show, from the sporting director. But mate, we really appreciate you coming up. Thank you for getting involved in the show. And guys, if you do want to get involved in future, please do make sure you follow the Chelsea Echo and tickle the bell. Have that notification bell on so you know when we're tweeting and when we're going live. But we are going to wrap up there. It's been a long old day watching that. And yes, we know it was only 90 minutes, but guess what? Whew, it felt like so much longer, didn't it? But obviously I want to say a big thank you to Rambles, to Mario, and obviously to all the other speakers as well who got involved throughout the show. Obviously you guys calling in is what makes the show. And as I know a few of you requesting that, we have been going for a little while, so we are going to be wrapping up now. But if you want to get involved, please make sure you come on to the next show after the next game. We can discuss even further. Just to reinforce, guys, if you have enjoyed the show and you've missed it, don't worry about it. It'll be available as a podcast tomorrow morning, UK time, 7 a.m. So you can listen to it back and get involved and listen to the conversation, and make sure you give us a message here on X at the Chelsea Echo after getting involved, and make sure you give us all your questions so Dan and I can dissect them all in the preview for the next Brighton game, which, oh my God, we are so looking forward to. But this has been Final Score. Make sure you check out the Voice Note Review. Make sure you check out the Chelsea Echo on all good platforms. I've been Louis. That was Rambles. This was the Final Score show, and we will see you for the next one. Bye bye.